protects long-term shareholders at the expense of short-term shareholders. But it clearly is designed to reduce or eliminate, as far as practical, dilution to the interests of those who are shareholders, whether it's for a week and someone comes in a week after a shareholder wants to do a rapid in and out trade to exploit a price discrepancy, or somebody who's in long term.
Do you know of any other legal challenges around the country to this reinterpretation or new interpretation by the SEC?
Your Honor, I am not aware of any other legal challenges to these statements that were made in the compliance rule release or the disclosure rule release. Very, very briefly, Your Honors, on the issue of there's basically two significant problems with the H2's claim. One is they have no injury, and the second is this is an interpretation and not a legislative rule. As an interpretation, it's not subject to notice and comment. And it's the prototypical example of a legislative rule because it states what the Commission thinks an undefined statutory term, readily available, means. DH2 argues that readily available can only mean one thing, and it must mean that if it's there, if a market quotation is accessible, you must use it. But that would be contrary to the whole purpose of the Act in terms of making sure that pricing accurately reflects the current value of a fund's portfolio. So it wouldn't make sense to argue that the statute means you must use a market quotation even if it isn't accurate, and even if you have reason to know that it isn't accurate in pricing and establishing the price that fund shares must be traded or sold. These statements are an interpretation, and they're not a legislative rule because they lack the force of law. They're the Commission's interpretation, but they're not binding on a court, and that's really the criteria for determining when an agency statement is a legislative rule. Is it binding on the courts? And this is not. The Commission couldn't bring an enforcement action based on these challenge statements. We would have to bring an enforcement action based on 2A41B, and on Section 22 of the Investment Company Act if we believed that an investment company had violated the Act's pricing requirements. And
your opponent made a comment that I think, if I recall correctly, that for the first time he said in 40 years there's been enforcement under this provision.
Your Honor, I wish I were well-versed enough in SEC history to be able to tell you one way or another whether that is accurate. I cannot tell you.
There has been a recent effort for enforcement.
The Commission has recently been actively engaged in enforcement actions against mutual funds for a variety of violations of the Investment Company Act. But, Your Honor, the 28J submission that DH2 submitted regarding the I believe it's the AIM funds, unless I'm missing it, I didn't see anything in there that said that we were going after them specifically for failing to fair value in conformance with these challenge statements. So I'm not really sure what the relevance of that case is. To wrap up, Your Honor, the statements are not a legislative rule, therefore they aren't subject to notice and comment. But I would note that DH2 did have an opportunity to comment. The statements were published in the disclosure rule. They did have an opportunity to comment on them in the context of the disclosure rule. The Commission did receive their comments and did consider their comments. The Commission didn't agree with their viewpoints, but nonetheless, they did have the opportunity for notice and comment in the context of the disclosure rule. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Ms. Bergen. Ms. Bergen, you have 1 minute.
Trying to be brief and direct. Hopefully my 1 minute will let me cover these things. First point, what the SEC doesn't say is that Congress knew about the risk of stale pricing at the time they implemented this two-tier system, saying when market prices are readily available, they should be used. This is a violation of congressional intent to take the SEC's power and delegate it to fund managers with no direction as to how they're to use it. Second, the standing point and the injury point. It's this simple. There is no way to know because fair value pricing under this current regime is done in secret without disclosure as to when, how, or by whom prices are set. We buy and sell every day. The funds will not tell us when they fair value price and when they do not. Under those circumstances, we're like the people who are locked in a dark room and somebody says, why don't you go out the door? I say, I can't see the door. I can't find the door. They say, well, there may be a door today. There may not. We're in the dark, and that in itself is injury. But moreover, this is clearly designed to favor some groups of fund owners against others. outside the SEC's mandate. And at a minimum, SEC ought to take notice and comment so that all owners can be heard, and not just those that are favored by the fund industry because they're passive and easy customers.
Mr. Bergen, your time has expired.
Okay.
Thank you. Case will be